Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. We're here in Las Vegas, Nevada, MGM Grand Garden Arena. It's a huge fight this weekend. We got the WBC Lightweight Championship of the World. But today on the podcast, we got a really great talent, and I'm so excited to have Montana Love joining us. 16-0-1 with 8 knockouts from Cleveland, Ohio. Montana, it's great to see you, brother.
Definitely good seeing you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. So, look, is your Matchroom debut on Saturday night? How you feeling?
I'm excited. You know, honestly, right now I'm living my dream. You know, I've been wanting to get with Matchroom and with Eddie for some time now, and now it's here, so I'm excited.
So, I mean, there's so much to talk about. Let's talk about the Matchroom thing. How did that come about? Because obviously, look, you fought on the undercard in Cleveland, Jake Paul undercard, and a lot of people saw this great performance against Ivan Baranchuk, who's a very tough customer. You stopped him. Your stock must have skyrocketed. Was your stock high before and then it just skyrocketed, or were you just kind of chomping away, trying to do what you could do, and then that happened, and then?
Nah, honestly, my stock was already, already there.
Yeah.
The world was just, all I was looking for was an opportunity like that. You know what I mean? I've been fighting on TV, on the Showbox, since I was 7-0. You know what I mean? And one thing with me, I always said, like, I would never just sign with anyone just to sign with them. It had to be life-changing, you know what I'm saying? So I stayed down, grinded it out, fought the dog fights, you know what I mean? Fought the hard fights, and now I'm here.
But see, this is a really interesting thing, and this is one thing I really love about you, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but obviously you have these other businesses. You got the Too Pretty salon. You got the Too Pretty nail business. You got some properties you're working on. But what I really like about you is the fact that you have this vision where you're hungry for it, but you're not, you're good. Money-wise, you're good. You don't need to go into a bad deal. You're only going to go into a deal that worked for you.
Yeah.
Now, that's chess. That's not checkers.
Absolutely.
So where did you get that mindset? Where did that come from?
Honestly, I can say that pretty much came from, like, my mother. You know what I mean? I always been a hustler, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care what it is. Like, if I'm in the streets or legally, you know what I mean? I'm going to make the right decisions, what's best for me at the end of the day. Some might call it selfish, but, you know, honestly, that's just how I always looked at things, you know what I mean? Like, what's the best position that me and my family can be put in? And, just seeing so many guys in the sport get messed around with these bad contracts, I'm just learning, you know what I mean? I sit back, I see what they're going through. Okay, jot that down. I'm not going to do that, you know what I mean?
Mental note.
Yeah, just taking a bunch of mental notes and, just being around it, you know what I mean? Just having that experience now.
Yo, I told everyone to silence their phone. Guess who didn't silence their phone? Yeah, this guy. Give me a second. Okay, there we go. Let's talk about your mom just for a second. First of all, rest in peace, and I'm really sorry for your loss. I know that she was a very important person to you. I know you lost both your parents terribly to cancer. Your father, when you were very young, you were 3 years old when you lost your pops, yeah?
Yeah.
But your mom played a very big role in your growing up, and even in your boxing. She was the one that brought you to the gym for the first time, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. My mother was like my mother and father, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And we definitely had, like, you know, I was lucky to have, you know, the uncle that I got, you know, which is her brother, Calvin Love, and, you know, he stepped in and helped as much as he could with me. But, yeah, my mother, she played both roles, you know. Thing is, like, my mother was not, like, a regular woman, you know. She was, like, a superhero to me, and, the role she played is just...
Tell me more about her. Did she have a regular job?
Nah, see, my mother, that's the thing.
She raised you guys. You got three siblings. It's four of you.
Yeah, it's four total. It's Montana, Dakota, Kansas, Reno.
All named after states.
Yeah, cities and states. So,
I love it.
You know, she is crazy. Like, it's hard to just explain her in one way. She was just an amazing woman. She hustled. She never worked a regular job. And that's where I probably got it from. You know what I mean? Seeing her... Growing up, you know, I'm watching my mom hustle.
She hustled on the right side of the law.
Man, but both sides. You hear me?
Oh, it was both sides?
Ain't no sugarcoat, nothing. She hustled both ways, you know what I'm saying? And just seeing that lifestyle and just seeing her, we ain't miss a beat. You know what I mean? Christmas come, everybody still got what they want. You know what I mean? Thanksgiving at our crib. You know what I mean? It's like she was that person. Like people would be like, whatever you looking for, they know they can call Reese and she either got it or she gonna get it.
Right.
And that's just the type of woman she was. She was a go-getter.
Man. And now you're a dad. You have three kids. Mm-hmm. Your first one, you had, well, you were 15 when your girl was pregnant, 16 when she was born, and then you got a middle one and you have a young one.
Yep. You know, being a father is probably like the best thing that happened to me. You know, so young.
Actually, I should say you have four because there's Poppy too.
Yeah, Pop. Yeah, Poppy.
With the dog. Yeah. For the fans out there, the dog that you've been seeing all week. Absolutely. That's your fourth child.
Absolutely.
Right.
And but you know, being a father actually, like, you know, it made me to a man. It turned me into a man at a young age. You know.
How so?
You know, you got to grow up.
Yeah, it's not just about you now.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't pretty much. When it comes to my childhood, I really can't remember having a childhood. You know what I'm saying? And
no, tell me about that. I mean, look, I know stories. So you grew up in the east side of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, that was the hood.
Yeah.
And you went to school right there in the projects, right?
Yeah, right. And it's, you know, front center of the projects.
Front and center of the projects. And that's how you got the name Too Pretty, because you all used to slap box and you could move nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, since a kid, you know, slap box and everything, I used to be like, too pretty, you can't hit me. And honestly, it just stuck with me now as an adult, you know what I mean? But just overall, the experience of being a father is crazy, you know. I was raised in a house, it was about a total of 5-6 of us, maybe. You know, my mother, you know, she ended up, you know, moving on, she had got a guy, you know, which is my little brother, Reno's father.
Okay.
And his son, honestly, you know, he came in and lived with us since he came along.
Sure.
So she raised him, and then she had her other little brother named Devon okay. Williamson. You know, Devon was it was like day and night. Rainier was more of a, you know, good guy.
Okay.
He was Olympian, 2008 Olympian, you know, boxer. Yep. As well. And then Delvon was more of the streets. So it's like I got both ends of it. You get what I mean?
Then I do.
My uncle, like my uncle Calvin, he went to the military. He was like the chain breaker for like my mother generation. You get what
right.
I mean? Because my mother and them, they never went to college and did the things that he's doing.
Sure.
I still got a family, aunts, cousins, everybody still living the projects right now. You know what I'm saying? And so he was the chain breaker for his generation. And now I'm that guy for my generation of the family.
How does that feel?
It feels great, you know.
They got to be proud of you, man.
Yeah. So it's
they all watching your trajectory.
Yeah.
So watching your journey.
Seeing everything come to true, you know, come to life since I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. To put them to see me actually in this position, it's mind blowing. You know what I mean? Because we can never see this far. You know, we don't know anybody else. Like, Uncle Calvin was the biggest person we knew. You know what I mean? Him going to the military, doing that. Like, that was like the shit, that's all we know. Like, if you don't go to the military, like, I tried to go to the military. I couldn't pass the ASVAB. I said, forget it. You know what I mean? And it's like, now to just stay down and stay focused and grind and get to where I'm at now, it's amazing. You know, it's a different type of feeling. It just hit different. You get what I'm saying? And
can I ask you about your trainer who also passed? There's been a lot of loss in your life.
Yeah.
Clint Martin Jr.,
yeah. Clint Martin, that was like a grandfather to me, you know.
When did you first hook up with Clinton? How did that happen?
My mother took us down to the gym, to Clint Martin Gym down at the Salvation Army on 59th and Huff in Cleveland,
yep.
Which is another, you know, rough neighborhood as well. And, you know, Clint, he took us all in. You know, I was a gym rat for like 3 years. I couldn't fight till you can't have your first fight till you're 8 years old. So
yeah.
I used to be bad. I used to run around. I used to do everything. You know what I mean? And
but you took to it. You loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. And Clint,
what did he teach you? Like, was he hard on you at first, or man, was he benevolent, like real nice to you?
Nah, hell no.
What was he like?
He's hard on everybody.
He was hard on you.
Everybody.
But you liked it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, wanted that. You wanted that structure.
Honestly, yeah, it teach you discipline. He taught me discipline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But why did you listen to him? Like, why did it, how did he get through to you? Like, what was the connection? Did you just dig him? Yeah. And so you listened to him? Did you respect him? Like, what was it about him?
Definitely the respect. And Clint Martin was just, he knew his stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And honestly, it was countless ass whoopings he gave me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, he whooped me so many times, you know. And excuse my language if I don't know if I'm allowed.
You
but
just
I'm,
talk however you want.
I apologize. But yeah, like, he used to tear me up all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's tough love.
Yeah.
It was all love.
Yeah. It was coming from a good place. And honestly, you know, like I said, I got older siblings. So seeing them, you know, advancing on and, you know, they getting, you know, to the level they was getting to, me looking up to them, you know, I'm following suit.
Right.
You know,
and right.
That's just how everything played out. Clint, you know, he's been my coach since I was 5. He actually passed away around the time my mother passed away.
That's a tough time. I mean, listen.
After my mother, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this it was like a 1-2, a really hard 1-2. And I know for you, I don't know if the people out there know, but it's documented, so we could talk about it. But you did a bid. Mm-hmm. And before that, you know, you were on the run. Mm-hmm. And that was around the time your mom was sick. And you didn't really properly get to say goodbye to her.
Yeah.
And that must be really, really difficult, you know. I mean, we all internalize sadness and tragedy and loss differently.
Yeah.
But, and you've told me that, like, you still kind of haven't even really maybe internalized it just yet.
Yeah, it's been 6 years. And honestly, like, you know, going being on the run, my thing is I always ran from it, to be honest with
yeah.
you. Like, you know. She, like I said, she was my superhero.
Yeah.
You telling me she gonna die, like, that was, hell no, she ain't about to die.
Yeah,
like,
you couldn't even think that.
Like, she gonna shake back, but, you know, that happening, I actually, like, ran from it, you know. I just always stayed busy, you know what I mean? Being on the run was actually good. Then going to prison, that's when it hit, but then you just keep your mind going, start doing other things, you know what I mean? And trying to think about other things, but in a way, it kind of damaged you as a person, as a man, just because it's like when it comes to women or just emotions, period. Me personally, I really don't know how to share those. You know what I mean? I really don't know how to express that. So, you know, I'm working on that now. I got a counselor and everything as well. But, you know, I honestly still run from it to this day. And, you know, not going to lie to you, but it's different. It's a hard pill to swallow for sure.
In due time. And it's, you know, it's a journey and it's a process and at your own speed. You know, I was telling you earlier about a big loss that happened in my life. My cousin Adrian, she died of cancer also. And when I was a little kid, I had a lot of problems with the family. But Adrian, she always understood me. She always got me. She was like my person. She was my champion. She loved me. And when she got sick, you know, I was living a different life and I was living out in California at the time and I couldn't face it.
Yeah.
And when I eventually came back and her nieces got married, and I went to the wedding, man, I broke down and I mean, I could just say it, but I cried. I cried like a baby, man. It hit me like a ton of bricks, but I grew, you know, and I grew as a man and I grew. I've lost a lot of people in my life, but family members I've lost since. And when people get sick or they're old, I don't shy away from it now. And I'm not afraid to talk to them. Yeah. And it feels good. I mean, it obviously hurts, but it's like you celebrate their life, man, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. So, and it's the process, right? Ain't nobody get out alive. Yeah. Like nobody gets out alive. It's the last time I checked. You know, this is what it is. So we have to appreciate, you know, the people that we have and the time that we have on this planet.
Absolutely. Yes, you're absolutely right.
And speaking of superheroes real quick, this is another thing about you to lighten up just a bit because we're getting a little deep.
Yeah.
Yo, what's with these videos with you with the Elvis and your trainer with the Batman? Yo, I'm loving this stuff, man. Maybe the people haven't seen it, but it's on your gram, right?
Yeah, it's on Instagram. It's on YouTube. Honestly, this is something I created, you know, a few years back when I was actually cutting weight. You know, it started off with me losing weight.
Okay.
And we started doing dances with it.
You know, okay.
Just dancing.
Just having fun. Yeah.
And then it just like me just like getting creative. Okay, I want to this.
Yeah.
I want to come with the Elvis outfit. Just random day of the week. Just we going to the gym. Let's do this mid video. I want to do the Elvis. I buy him the Batman costume. And,
right.
You know, he put it on and we get to having fun. You know, we getting work done. You still getting proper sweat. You still getting the work that you need done. And, you know, just it's all about having fun with me. You know, this is my career. I'm here for a long time. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be here for a long time, not just a good time. And just once you start taking it too serious, you frowning and all that, like you get old quick and then you get tired. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So you got to keep it fun. You know what I mean? And just me personally, I've just been naturally just flashy. It's just me my whole life. It's just me being me, honestly. So it's nothing rehearsed, nothing it just happens. You know what I mean? It just happens.
See, I like that. I like, you got to have swag in the ring. You got to have swag outside. And because it is a show and it is entertainment, you know, it's a sport, but people want to be entertained. And you got to be able to talk and you got to be able to put on a show, which obviously you've done inside the ring. And it seems like you're very happy to do it outside of the ring too. Yeah. Even with this, this rap game, I know you don't take it too serious, but you tell me about the rap thing, the take a pic. It lasts longer, yeah, right? It lasts longer.
Tell them take a picture.
That's it.
It'll last longer.
Yeah, you just having fun with it though, right?
Yeah. Like I say, honestly, being in the studio is like therapy.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a good way to express yourself.
Okay.
You know, you hear a bunch of different beats, your mind just constantly going and flowing, and you know, I just like to have fun, man. I'm just an entertainer naturally.
Yeah.
Just at heart. So, you know, anything I do, I always put 100% in it.
Yeah.
Know? So you're not going to see me putting out no half ass or no BS or nothing like that. Anything you see my name on is it's that. You
it's know official.
I mean? It's official. So you tell me, what you think? How you like that song?
It's all right.
Yeah. You know. It's that. And that's my first song.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, it's like, good, though. It's good. You like, you know, listen, man, it's like you said, it's about having fun.
Yeah.
And your main grind right now is boxing. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Some people might say, oh, he got a nail salon. Oh, he's got a mobile salon. Oh, he's got properties. Oh, he's doing this. He's not focused on the game. That's not true, right?
No.
This is you're about boxing.
Absolutely.
Because you know how serious this game is.
It's my life.
Yeah, and you know the screws only tighten. So I mean, look, you facing Carlos Diaz. This guy 29-1 from Guadalajara,
yeah.
The land of tequila and mariachis. Yeah. That's a great city, brother.
Yeah.
But they some tough cats down there.
Tough guy.
That's where Canelo's from.
Yeah.
There's some good fighters down there. So you facing this guy, you know, and this is you coming in hard, like, you know, fighting Baranchik and doing what you did, and you're not taking a soft touch. Mm-hmm. You know, and 140 is a very interesting division because obviously Josh Taylor right now is the king of the 140 division. He got the fight with Catterall. He very well might vacate after that and move up because, you know, who knows if he's going to fight Crawford or whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. But either way, you see all this talent at 135, and these cats all trying to come to 140. Mm-hmm. Right here this week, we got Ruguru, Regis Prograis here.
Yeah.
He not a soft touch. Regis can fight. You know, do you know Regis?
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Regis, like, personally.
Yeah, me too. And you rate him. He can fight, yeah?
Yeah, right.
Do you think that's something that even might happen? I know you all friends, but could that happen? Yeah, I'm not trying to make that. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sport of boxing.
Anything can happen. Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you don't look past no one. You
correct.
Can't put nothing past no one. And honestly, like, with the right check, they going to – anybody gonna jump
can get
it. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Anybody can get it.
So at the end of the day, you know, Regis is a great guy. You know, great fighter. He's you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he looks in shape, man.
Yeah, I speak nothing but highly of him. You know,
yeah, he is a good dude. That fight with Josh Taylor, I'll tell you, that was razor thin.
Yeah.
That was a close fight. That was a hell of a fight.
Yeah, that's the thing. What Regis gonna do? He don't care how he look. He gonna fight. He kind of puts you in the mindset of Porter in a way.
Yeah.
He don't care what it look like. He coming to fight.
No, he coming to fight.
For sure. So, yeah, good
guy. What's up with this whole Tank situation, man? He's obviously fighting this weekend. Mm-hmm. But there's this video of you guys sparring. Mm-hmm. I seen it. I got to keep it a buck. Like, I got to keep it 100. Like, he looked like he touched you. Yeah, you touched him too. See, but if I but the clip that went up, I'm just gonna be real. It looked like he got the better of you. I gotta keep it 100. Absolutely. That's what it is, man. I'm not saying that he was trumping you, but I'm just saying like he put hands on you.
But the thing is, if you even look at it, a lot of those punches were still blocked.
Okay.
Go back and watch it.
Okay.
And then that's 8 rounds of a we did 8 rounds. That's
right.
A minute clip of all his highlights.
Sure, you of course. Yeah, I do. And also it's sparring.
Hey, look.
It's sparring.
Just that. You see, he couldn't hurt me. I'm walking through the punches,
right
down, shooting right back, talking, you know, me being me.
Right.
So imagine what my shit looked like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I was to put a clip out and, you know,
right.
If I had a clip and just be able to put mine up. But, you know, it come with boxing. You know, it was a learning experience. Kevin would tell you, Adrian would tell you.
Yeah.
You know, all the guys that was there, they know what's going on. What
yeah.
happened, you know, but honestly, I ain't gonna. It was good. It's good marketing.
No, yeah, it's sparring, and maybe it will create buzz for a fight in the future. Is that a fight that you would possibly
absolutely.
Want?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I remember you saying like he didn't hurt me, you know. Like you said, Baranchik hit way harder than him.
Nah, Baranchik probably was like one of the biggest punchers I'd have been in the ring with for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Baranchik is he comes hard.
Body solid, strong.
Yeah,
you know he can hit. You know he's a good. You know he's another just warrior. You know what I mean? To just pressure, hard hitting. You get what I mean? And you know, but I'm a dog. Like for real, I look at myself like the big dog. Like they ain't on my level. They can't. You know what I'm saying? Even coming into that fight, 7-1. Guys like, damn, y'all gonna take that fight? Y'all trying to talk? You know what I'm saying? Like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to talk you out of it. Or
what do you think is your best attribute as a fighter? Do you think it is that dog mentality, or would it be, let's say, your hand speed? Would it be your defense? Would it, you know?
I ain't saying I'm no psychic or nothing, but it's like, I pretty much can see things I feel like other fighters can't. You get what I mean?
Listen, your amateur record, something like, what, 187 and 11 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a couple fights. Yeah. That's a couple. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah.
10-time amateur national champion.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of accolades as an amateur. So, obviously, that puts you in good stead to be where you are now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like my amateur background is very important. Just having an amateur background in a sport period is very important because you learn, you get so much experience off of that. You know what I mean? You fighting all different type of styles.
Yes.
You seeing everything.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You got the bangers, you got the boxers, you got the wild guys, you pretty much prepared for anything in the future.
So when you step in there, like, you feel calm.
Yeah.
Do you get nerves on the night of the fight? Like, before you do the walk, do you, like, how does, because, like, let me ask you this. You have that draw with Kenneth Simms Jr.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I've heard you talk about it, and you're like, listen, sometimes you have an off night. And that's one thing that I don't know if people understand how difficult it is, because we talk about this sometimes. Like, a basketball team, they play so many games. Mm-hmm. You guys have off nights. Absolutely. Like, in New York, the lights are really bright. So if you're a New York Knicks and you have a bad night, you'd be on the front page of the paper saying you're a bum, move out,
right.
He's terrible. The next night, you have a great night, you get a triple-double. They're like, this guy's the best ever. There's a short memory.
Yeah.
But boxing's not like that.
No.
Because you've gone out 3 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you was in Cleveland, Atlanta, Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Compton to Cairo, baby, coast to coast doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times, and for a boxer, that's a lot. But a lot of these cats, they don't fight that often. And and it's never guaranteed, because especially in these COVID times, people get injuries, people pull out, people don't make weight. There could be contractual issues, all kinds of things. So sometimes you don't get so many options to apply your wares.
Mm-hmm.
So you might wake up that day of the fight, you might have a stomach bug,
right.
Or maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep. Maybe something going on with your family. You know, anything could happen.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Simms thing. When you say I had an off night, how? Physically, mentally? You just weren't switched on? Did you overlook him?
No, you didn't feel
good?
Honestly, like with that fight with Simms, I was previously supposed to have a fight before then in Texas for the WBC youth title.
Yeah.
And I had a whole camp, 8-week camp. Then if we get to the fight and the fight don't happen.
Okay.
Lost all the weight and everything, and then jump right back into another 6-week camp for Kenny. And it's such thing that's called overtraining.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, at this level of professionals and everything, your training is very, very intense. Very intense. And
can we not to interrupt, but I want to know. So you're training at Little Giants?
Yeah, I do strength conditioning at Little Giants.
That's in Euclid?
Yep, right in Euclid. Yeah. 185th in Euclid.
Okay, and what kind of training are we talking about? What does it look like?
Crazy.
I know you run probably minimum 3 miles a day, right?
Man, I usually run down 10 miles a day.
Okay.
I run in
but no less than three.
No less than three. So, like, I do a three probably in the morning.
Okay.
Come back, do a five-piece at night. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Okay, and what happens in the middle?
Middle, we got boxing training. We got strength conditioning.
Okay.
You know, we got sprints, pool work, things like that. You know what I mean? And Calvin, my uncle, he's my strength coach.
Sure.
Uncle Calvin, yeah, he's amazing. You know, he was in the military. He knows everything about the body. You know what I mean? He know how to break you down and build you back up.
Okay.
We call him Dr. Miami and Cleveland for the women. You ain't gotta get surgery. You know
I love it. You don't need surgery. That's it.
Love.
Do it from the inside.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you know we gotta get you on, man.
What's that?
A dietitian.
Yeah.
Because you be eating them sweets.
No, yeah. Sweets.
That's you still have the sweet tooth?
Yeah, that's one thing that's been with me.
What's with that, man?
I don't know.
Yo.
Since a kid, like
you just love it. It don't matter.
Since a kid, like
Skittles, Twizzlers.
I'd rather eat sweets before I eat food.
Reese's.
Yeah. Everything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Call it out. Yep. You actually missed weight one time because of eating sweets.
In the tournament. I'm down in the Nationals, right? We down in the Nationals. Silver gloves, actually.
Okay.
You know, I make it out. I win every night.
Okay.
Every night of the fight, every night. You know, in the Nationals, you're fighting four times.
Yeah.
I fight every night. I win. I get to the championship bout, right?
Yeah.
Me and my little guy, his name Day Day, you know, from Cleveland as well.
Okay.
And I think he had, he won too. He had a fight as well. Like, we in the Nationals, in the finals.
Yeah.
Kansas City. My mom flew in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? My mom, my uncle, everybody flew in for this fight. Me and Day Day decided the night before.
Go get some candy.
You know, we sneak and get a Snicker ice cream. we go eat our Snicker ice cream. Next day come. Fucking miss weight.
Oh man!
So like we running, we doing
trying to get rid of it, spitting in a bucket.
Man, like my coach, he flipped this upside down to try to make the blood and hurry up and get on the scale. Like all the little tricks.
And I've seen them all.
I missed the weight by 1 ounce.
Oh
a tenth,
man!
Like 1 ounce, got disqualified.
Oh, but it's a good lesson.
Yeah, it was a great lesson.
It's a good lesson. But, sometimes those little setbacks,
yeah,
they help you in the long run.
Whole tournament, though. I won a whole tournament. Like, and get to the finals.
Because of a Snickers ice cream bar.
Because of a Snickers.
But they are good.
It's crazy.
They're delicious.
Eating it, you know what I mean?
They are good.
You know,
but they're not that good.
Yeah,
they're not that good.
Nah.
They're not that good.
Yeah, so it was definitely.
But are you still on the sweets, though?
No, not too much. Like,
what kind of diet are you eating? What are you eating?
It depends. I do fish. I love seafood, personally.
You date lake perch?
Huh? I like do crab legs.
Okay,
I like lobster tails, shrimp, you know.
Okay.
And
Erie.
I eat that regularly, like weekly.
Okay.
Honestly, I eat.
So seafood.
Yeah, seafood now been my thing. I like pasta. Love pasta. And that's like
you cook it all?
I think that's my downfall. A little bit, but I don't cook.
Not really.
Nah,
that's not your thing.
Cook. Yeah. Like I could a little bit though. Like,
yo, let me ask you this, because Cleveland, I spent a lot of time in Cleveland.
Yeah,
that's a crazy town, man.
Yeah.
I really like Cleveland, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
That's crazy. You know,
it's not the typical spot that you would think of, but I had an ex out in Elyria. You know Elyria, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. You know Cedar Point out in Sandusky?
Cedar Point, Sandusky.
Yo, that's,
yeah.
Hey, for the people out there, if you're the thrill seekers, if you're roller coaster fans, that's literally the best roller coasters in the world.
Absolutely.
Cedar Point, man, is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh,
definitely.
I rode all of them.
Really?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Crazy.
But like, there's some good spots. Like, I don't know if you know, that place Slyman's? They make a corned beef sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
It's right down there by
Slyman's. That's my spot.
Yeah, Freddie Slyman. He's a buddy of mine.
You really spent some time up here, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know about the corned beefs and everything?
Oh, it's good, man. Okay. And then There's a lot, like the Polish dogs. You get the Polish dogs. That's the style, the Cleveland boys. Style, the Polish Cleveland. Boys.
Yeah, the Polish boys, it, them fire, you know. Come Polish boys with the fries on it. Oh, coleslaw.
Coleslaw, yeah, that's
with,
Cleveland style, man.
Sweet sauce, you're going crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, and also, like, speaking of, like, Eastern European and Polish, like, they got, like, Sokolowski's University in. You know that spot? It's like an old cafeteria spot, but they make all this old school food. It's very good.
What is it called?
Sokolowski's University Inn. It's a really old spot.
Yeah, I ain't familiar with
you
that.
You know the spot? Yeah, it's across the Cuyahoga River. It's right there on the edge of the river. It's really nice out there.
Man, I got to check that out.
Yeah,
right.
but the whole city changed, like the flats.
Everything changed.
Yo, in the 80s and 90s, the flats.
Talking was, like he really.
This is a crazy spot. It was a crazy spot.
Yeah.
That's what where all the nightclubs were.
Yeah, no,
and they were they were like, you know, they were just all kind of thrown up, you know, but yeah, it's a good time. It's all built up.
Yeah.
It's all built up. That district just really changed. They got a view on the river, you know, the water, and it's very nice. And even over by the West Side Market, that's changed. There's some good food in that West Side Market, too.
Great food, great fruit, you know what I mean? That West Side Market, that's where we go get all the fruit and the vegetables.
It's very good. Yeah. And they got a little Italy over there by University Circle. I know all the cigar spots. Mayfield.
I see.
That's my cousins. There's cousins. Yeah, they shout out to those people, man.
He just spent a lot of time up there for real.
Yeah, man. The Emerald Necklace, man. Cleveland's a cool spot, man. It really is. And they had a couple world champions way back in the day, Joey Maxim and Kilbane and all that. But you trying to bring the glory back.
Absolutely. You know, I'm trying to do something. Cleveland is like a bunch of, we like crabs in a barrel. You know what I mean? We got a lot of great talent, a lot of good fighters that come out the city, but a lot of them don't make it. You know what I mean? You never even hear of them. And the crazy thing is, these fighters, they didn't beat, like, people that's world champions now. Cleveland fighters then smoked them in the amateurs or something. You know what I'm saying? And
so why are they not getting their shine? Because Ohio fighters get their shine. Whether you're talking about like Pavlik or Mancini or Robert Easter, or there's so many great Aaron Pryor. But these, we're talking about Toledo. We're talking about Columbus. We're talking about Cincy. Yeah. We're talking about different towns.
That's the thing.
But see, what's up with Cleveland?
So you gotta look at it like, I mean, Cleveland.
Youngstown.
The last four Olympics. We had four Olympians come out of Cleveland. You know what I mean? And that's major for our city, you know. And the thing is, Cleveland just don't have that guy.
Right.
What I mean by that is we're like a bunch of crabs in a barrel with nothing to hook on to grab on to, you know. And like Sean Porter, you know, no disrespect to him or anything like that. That's my guy, great guy.
He's but, here this week, by the way.
Yeah,
him and his dad.
Him and his father, and you know, they just, you know, they did.
Great career, by the way.
Yeah, did what's best for them. They moved out. But the thing is, when they moved out, they never looked back.
Right.
So nobody else have, it's no chain there versus like you had someone like Adrian from Cincinnati.
Right.
And when he came up, he pulled Robert Easter in from Toledo.
Right.
He pulled Rashid Warren in from Cincinnati. You get what I mean? He at least brought somebody with him. You get what I mean? And that's why Ohio, you speak on Ohio, you name them guys, they had somebody to hook on to.
Sure.
You know, coming from Cleveland, we don't have nothing. Like, we don't even, that Jake Paul fight was the biggest fight we had in Cleveland ever. Like,
but, like, you did have people. Like, you had someone, can I ask you about Jacqueline Black?
Yeah, Jacqueline
Black. Because I know for me, and I'm going to tell the fans out there who she is in a second, but for me, I was not a school guy. I didn't like school that much.
Yeah.
It was not my thing. But I had a couple of teachers over the years that really, they believed in me. And almost like that cousin I was telling you, Adrian, like she saw me for who I was. She got me.
Yeah.
And these teachers also saw something in me, and they really made a difference in my life. And Jacqueline Black was one of your teachers, right?
Yeah.
And tell me about the relationship with her. And when you got in that trouble, how she kind of like, in a way, got through to you and made you feel like maybe I need to change what I'm doing, flip the script, you know?
Yeah. So with Miss Black, you know, she's like a kind of like a mother figure to me. You know, she helps me with any and everything. You know, back when I was, like, her and my mother before, you know, when I first went to the school, like, her and my mother had to understand it, like, this your child when you're here, you know what I'm saying?
Right, so, exactly.
So, like, when I used to get in trouble with things, missing the assignments, they going to her, you know what I'm saying? They don't even call my mother. They go straight to her, and, like, she was helping me getting things done.
What year, what grade in school did you first meet Miss Black?
10th grade.
10th grade. And what did she teach?
So I had, you know, I had a child and everything. So I had London by then, and she taught parents, what is it called? Parents, teacher, whatever. Like, okay. Basically, like, help you develop how to be a parent. You okay. get what I mean?
Sure.
It was a parenting class she
oh,
taught.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
And she also, like, was an assistant teacher, like, teaching English. Or whatever. Yeah. But, anything that happened in school or whatever, like, I used to get in trouble because I used to sneak girls into school. You know what I mean? I used to get caught up shooting dice in school, everything. Like, she, if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't graduated for real. Like,
and she was that important to you?
Yeah, she still is. She actually is in my life.
I love that.
I speak with her regularly now.
Yo, you're doing something that I think is so amazing, man. And it's something that I've actually thought about and I talked to some people about, but I never acted on it. And I love it because we're talking about community and we're talking about Cleveland, and people don't know that's a rough city. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a great city, but mm-hmm. but it can be rough. Mm-hmm. And you're doing this thing with the youth, getting them to get in the ring instead of you know, popping each other.
Yeah.
Pop each other with the gloves on.
See, right now, Cleveland is like, we rated in like top three murders right now. You know what I mean? We passed Chicago up and everything. And the thing is, like, in the streets, like, and it's no love for nobody. You know what I mean? I know what it is, man.
I seen it.
You could be on the other end of that, you know what I mean? On the quick. Other end of that gun or something really quick, you know what I mean? And but the thing is, instead of people getting jumped, catching cases, losing their life, you know what I mean? I definitely start throwing fight cards, you know? It started a couple years back when I started 2018. I threw my first all-women boxing match. Like, you know, if you got beef with her, you got beef with her, okay.
Settle it in the ring.
Yeah, let's line it up. You know what I mean? So I lined it up, a whole thing, and a whole card like that, right? It was amazing.
That is amazing, man.
Sold out. Like,
I love that.
Like, in three weeks.
Can I ask you this? Because we see, like, a lot of times, like, in a build up to a fight, you know, and then right after the final bell, there's a lot of respect.
Yeah.
Do you see that with these people?
No, so we had a lot of that.
Are they still beef?
No. It was a lot of that. Like, a lot of people that used to beef, like, that fought on my card.
They
hang together now. They hit the bar together. You know what I'm saying?
We need more of this, man.
Yeah. So, but the thing is,
putting the love in that Montana name.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the sneaking the girls in school.
Straight up.
My dude.
But, you know, with the fight cards, it was amazing, you know. But our commission and, you know, I wasn't sanctioned fights. You know, it was me just going out, renting the venue, renting everything I needed to do.
Sure.
Just me, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Doing, getting everything set up like a real fight. And sold the thing out, which, you know, in this game, it's about money. So, you know, our commission, they got on me about that. You know, I can't throw another card unless it's USA Boxing sanctioned. You know what I mean?
Well, I get all that. And boxing can obviously be very dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
So you want to have medics there, referees there.
But
so
that's the thing. I had all that.
Yeah.
Medics, insurance, everything.
But it's the sentiment behind it, you know, to understand where you come from and understand that. Because boxing has helped you so much in your life,
mm-hmm.
the things that you've seen, and you want to share that with other people and try to squash these beefs, because these kids are killing each other.
Yeah,
and it's not good. It happens in my hometown too. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Brooklyn has been a crazy time for a lot of the cities in America. So, you know, if y'all got a beef, handle it the real way.
Yeah,
you know
they shy away from fighting. A lot of them don't know how to fight.
Right.
You know, that's why.
They weren't doing that slap boxing you were doing at the young age.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Even
slap boxing.
You said your dad used to have you out there checking pockets when you were a little kid.
Yeah, man. So crazy. Like, just certain things, like I say, like, as far as my childhood, certain things I can remember, certain things I can't. And I remember, though, his funeral. You can ask Mark, I believe his funeral. Like, I put, like, I had a Power Ranger toy. I put it in his casket. Like, I remember, you know what I'm saying? Young like that, and I remember when he used to have me, you know, doing a pocket check thing. He used to have me down in the projects and everything. And like I say, like, my parents and everything, they ain't no saints. They wasn't no regular working people, and they was hustlers, you know what I mean? And that's where I get it from.
Listen, man, I really love that that we have you on this matchroom banner now, and I'm really excited to see your fight. Actually, before we go, so thank you for this time. Do you mind answering a couple fan questions?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Let me see what we got here. All right. Okay, let's see here. Julian Carey asked Montana, you had over 200 fights in the amateur. Well, not 200. You had almost. Was it 180, 198?
197.
197, 190. All right, who's counting? So you had around 200 fights in the amateurs, winning various national titles. What would you say was your proudest accolade in the amateurs?
My proudest, honestly, I'd say my proudest was when I was 8 years old when I won my first belt. You know what I mean? Just, you know, going to Kansas City, down the ringside, right, winning my first title. That's what honestly made me stick around into the sport, you know. You get to travel, you know, you meet a lot of different people. I think, yeah, I'm 8 years old, it just showing you that hard work pays off. And honestly, I think when I was 8 years old, that was like my biggest thing right there.
Got that little taste.
Yeah,
you got that. You wanted more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you still want that more, especially like that must have been fighting in Cleveland on the – look, it's funny because everyone talks about these YouTubers and this and that, but
– yeah.
Listen, man, credit to Jake Paul because first of all, he's in a real fight coming up. I can't wait to see that fight, to be honest. I really want to see that fight.
I'm actually going to go check it out live.
I really want to see that fight. But, yeah. I mean, you see what he did with the purse, with Amanda Serrano, putting a guy like you on a card with a really good fight against Brian. That's a real fight.
Yeah.
You know, and you got, if people haven't seen it, when you go into the arena, you got a massive ovation.
Yeah, yeah. So
you must have just, your chest must have pumped out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my city really behind me. You know, they really support me. I'm definitely appreciative of my city. I love them. You know, I got the Cleveland Cavaliers reaching out to me now. They sending me gifts. Got, you know, the Cleveland Browns, you know, be watching me and everything. So
what do you like to watch? Are you football, you baseball, you basketball? What do you like?
Honestly, I really don't watch too much sports unless I just go live. But okay. I don't really watch too much sports like that.
But you're a fan of the Cleveland
team. I'm supporting my team 100%.
The Indians just changed the name to the Guardians? Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah.
Cleveland Guardians.
Things changing right now, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's what it is.
We still backing them. We still behind them.
Of course.
100%. And, but, yeah, yeah. So, walking out, it was amazing. Amazing feeling. You seeing that 18,000 people in the arena. You know what I mean? Just looking in your hometown. They screaming for you. It's crazy.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Like, it's a great feeling. It's amazing.
Okay. Henry Lewis asked Montana, you have one blip on your record, a draw with Kenneth Sims Jr. What happened that night? Well, we kind of touched on that.
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't even say it's a blimp. I like that. Honestly, like, if there's anything I could change, I wouldn't.
So you feel like you overtrained?
Yeah, I mean, that, but the biggest thing out of that whole situation, like, it's no excuses, but the biggest thing about that situation is the experience I gained from that.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, being in the fight and your mind telling you to do something, your body not reacting.
Right.
That's scary.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it's really like a scary feeling, but just now knowing, okay, something like this happened again, I'd have been through this, now just making that adjustment.
Is it the adjustment, like, in the training? Like, to not overtrain?
Yeah, that, but even, I'm just saying, like, even in a fight, right? Say, for instance, you know, you go out there, your body not reacting like it's supposed to, now you got to make that adjustment in that ring right then and there. So, okay, if you're sitting there, you coming forward, use your legs.
Yeah.
Move around a little bit. You know what I mean? Let's try to loosen up a little bit, you know. Stay slick, stay smart.
Stay slick and stay smart. Stay too pretty.
Absolutely.
All right, final question here is by @PeterLyons14. He asks, Haney versus JoJo this Saturday in the main event. Who wins? Good question.
Great question. Honestly, I think, you know, JoJo a dog. He's good. You know, he'd have been in plenty of tough fights. But I think Haney speed and movement was what's gonna help him edge this fight. You know, he should be able to outbox JoJo.
Okay, you heard it right here. Well, listen, man, you and the Chief support. So hopefully after your fight you'll be able to watch the main event. And we're really looking forward to a bright future with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Montana Love, too pretty, undefeated, 140. 140-pounder and from Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you, my friend. And next week, everybody, we'll be back. We're going to be in Liverpool. We got Katie Taylor, Connor Benn versus Chris Algieri. And then, of course, we'll be in Manchester the week after for Derek Chisora and Joseph Parker. So for Matchroom Radio, I'm David DeMonte in Montana. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. All right.